This is the Council of Jewish Women, Pittsburgh chapter. This is November the 18th, 1997. Selma Weiss and Ruth Saul are the interviewers. It's for Joel Cronick.
It's for oral
the oral history program. All right. We'd like, first of all, for you, Joel, to tell us a little bit about your family background, anything that might have contributed to what you're doing today.
Well, family background. I'm originally from Altoona, Pennsylvania. I was born in Altoona. My mother's family is from Altoona. My grandfather settled there probably in about 1890.
Can you give us names, please?
Yeah, Jacob Brett was his name. B-R-E-T-T was his last name, Brett. And the Brett family has been there since that period of time, a fairly prominent family.
Did you get my date?
My grandfather was in the department store, you know, women's ready-to-wear, everything. For many years lived in a little town called Bentondale, where he serviced the mining areas and the mining communities. But their connection was with Altoona, and as his children were born, he moved finally back to Altoona. Fairly prominent family.
About what year?
I would say this is 1895, and then when he got married in 1900, he lived in Bentondale, and he probably moved back to Altoona in about 1908, 1909. He came as an immigrant. One of the stories he always tells me, and we all used to love my grandfather, was coming as an immigrant, taking a horse and carriage around Blair County. That time he only spoke German.
Obviously he was from Germany.
Yeah, he was from Lithuania, but he spoke German. Lithuania at that time used to be German and Russian and something else every other year. And he came when he was about 12. His father thought the place was very anti-religious, and so he took them all back home again. And then he, at the age of 13, came by himself. He was to go with an uncle to South America. He got to Hamburg, Germany, and thought the uncle was into some shady business, which he probably was in South Africa. My grandfather jumped ship from the uncle, took a ticket he had, went to London, came to the United States, and the only thing he knew was Altoona, Pennsylvania. When he got to New York, he got on a train and went to Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Did you already have contacts in
Well, he did.
He had.
He did. And by the time he was 18 or 19, he owned two or three houses, had brought all his family, his mother, his brothers and sisters. He had brought everybody to this country. He was very successful. He was a very wealthy man in the 20s. He lost it all in the Depression. Built a large building in Altoona, which took him downhill. He had three daughters, two sons. They lived a very rich life. They really did. They lived a good life.
Are there people from that family, the aunts and uncles and so on, cousins?
Oh, I have many cousins there. My family, grandmother lived to ripe old ages, both into their 90s. I still have cousins there by the name of Brett, by the name of Jubilier. Bob Jubilier, who's my first cousin, is now president of the Pennsylvania Senate. He's probably the top Republican in the state of Pennsylvania, who lives in Altoona. We still get together once, twice a year as first cousins. There's 12 of us on my mother's side. We now are spread all over, but we all come back to Altoona because of the first cousins. Three still live in Altoona on the Brett side. So we still go to Altoona quite frequently. In fact, my father's buried in Altoona. I moved to Johnstown, Pennsylvania in 1939. My grandfather had a women's ready-to-wear department store, split it up, and so my mother and father opened one in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. That's how I got to Johnstown. So I spent most of my childhood in the Johnstown area. But a very close family in Altoona. Always Reformed Jews, though. It's very interesting. My grandfather, because of the experience with his own father and thinking it was so anti-religious, never really I think, had any strong religious background. But my grandmother, whose maiden name was Block, B-L-O-C-K, and her family lived in Altoona. She kept the family together, but they joined the Reformed congregation there probably when it first started, and were always very strong members of it. In fact, I'm sure most of my uncles were president. My cousins have been president of the congregation, and so they have remained pretty strong in Altoona. When I went to Johnstown, of course, we had no family in Johnstown. It was just ourselves. But I grew up in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. I have one brother, whose name, by the way, is Brett, which is interesting. It's a family name that everyone in our family have given it to our children. I have a son who's Brett, and my brother's Brett, and all my cousins have a child who they've given that name to.
It's two T's.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's interesting, yeah. It really is.
Do you have any recollection of what the name had been in Lithuania?
Well, what I understand the name was Klutz. Brett means lumber, by the way, and it means a piece of wood. And a singular piece of wood could be a klutz. And my mother, who's still alive today, who's 95, will say, thank God we didn't take the name of Klutz. She says, I could have been Miriam Klutz. She says, can you imagine? But that's where that's what I think the name derives from. Breton is a lumber, something to do with woods, lumber, cuts of wood. And they were in that business at one time. They were in the lumber business. So that's, you know, you hear these stories of, you know, you go on. But he was a wonderful storyteller, and I have many stories from him. And, you know, stories which I've written down, and things that we get together, they're of my cousins. He was the gathering spot. And no matter where we were, when we came home from college, when we started to go away, if you went to my grandfather's office, you always knew three or four other cousins would be there sitting, talking to him. He had that wonderful type personality. Now, he loved real estate. He was in the women's ready-to-wear. He always bought and sold real estate. My grandmother was always, as soon as she heard about it, would say, get rid of it. She was the, and it's probably where I got it from. I had to have, because I like real estate and architecture. That's the only place I can think in the family, because my grandfather and I had great communications on that. I went away with him when I was maybe 17 to Florida, where he owned a lot of real estate. And I remember walking up, and you know, he'd get in front of a property, he'd step it off, and how wide it was, and things like that. And so he had a wonderful personality. And we always listened to his stories. My grandmother was the strong one. You know, she had raised all these kids. She raised brothers and sisters, because she was the eldest, and she led it off. And it's interesting, when they went to Vintondale, there were no roads. There were no sidewalks, there were no street lights, there was no indoor plumbing. My grandmother tells the story, after she got married, she went on a train, went to Vintondale, and she said she stepped off in the mud. Vintondale is like up near, how would I describe it? It's between Ebensburg, no, not quite Ebensburg. Let's see, where would you lean? You know where Armagh is going on US 22? Past John? It's US 22.
I have a faint
it's
idea.
US 22 between here and Altoona. And so 22 is the main road. And it's a little road that goes off to the left. It's a little coal mining town. Uh-huh. It's been there forever.
Okay. Is it still there?
Oh, yeah, it's still there. Matter of fact,
never heard of it.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I have a book that's from Vintondale, a history book that somebody did, and it speaks of the Jews of Vintondale. And it talks about my grandfather.
So it's near Penn, before Penn State.
Oh, well, no, no. It's way this side of Penn. It's way this side of Altoona in Evansville.
Oh, okay.
It's between Johnstown and Altoona in that vicinity where the coal areas were. And it's interesting because my brother later on had a housekeeper. She came from Vintondale, and her father had worked for my grandfather in his store in Vintondale back in the beginning of the century. So it's... a little community that nobody even knows is there, you know, buried up in the woods. But, you know, he was close to Altoona, closer to Altoona, and as children grew, my grandmother made him promise that when she had more than one, she could go to the hospital, and when they became the school age, they could go to Altoona. for religious and for educational purposes, then as their fourth and fifth child were born, then they moved back into Altoona. My mother was the eldest, so they, you know, that's where they finally settled in, out back in the Altoona community, and so forth and so on. And Altoona, it was always a very happy experience. I mean, it really was because of the close-knitness of the family there.
Yeah,
now, my father's family was from York, Pennsylvania. And my father's family is one of eight sons. And they came around the turn of the century, a little later than my father's family, through Baltimore into York, Pennsylvania. And they basically were in the jewelry business. And most of at that time, after they were here a while, had eight or nine jewelry stores, of which one of their jewelry stores was located in Altoona, Pennsylvania. So when my father graduated college, he was sent to open a store in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Thus, he met my mother. Well, no, he had met her before.
Was your father's first name?
Samuel. Yeah, but he met my mother in York, Pennsylvania, on a blind date.
Did we get your mother's first name?
Miriam. My mother went to a little private school outside of Philadelphia called Darlington Seminary. It's now defunct, but at that time it was a very nice finishing school. And she had a roommate that took her home to York, Pennsylvania. And the roommate was not Jewish. And she said she only knew one Jewish family, and that was the Cronick family. And she debated who to fix my mother, because there were eight boys in this family, which one to fix my mother up with. And so she picked my father. And blind date, and they fell in love. And she remained close to this woman, who was her closest friend up till she just died this year at 96. And my mother and she corresponded and were just wonderful together. And she says, "The only Jewish kid I know."
Well, it was a good impression.
It was. And so he then opened the store in Altoona. When they were looking for other locations, he knew my mother was in Altoona. And so he went to Altoona, opened the store, and they re-met. And so evidently he thought it was a good chance to meet her. I don't know. But and I have a lot of family in York, Pennsylvania. But that end of the family, the Cronick, it's interesting. They settled in small towns. My family have always, I've said, been small town people. Never in the major cities. I was one of the first that lived in a major city. My cousins in Pennsylvania have lived in Lancaster, Harrisburg, Lewisburg, York, Pennsylvania, Altoona, Johnstown. You name all the small towns of Pennsylvania, and they're in all.
You put Harrisburg in the same breath as Johnstown.
Well, it was. At one time, it was a small town. Harrisburg was a small town. Today, it's larger because it's the capital and it's grown. But, you know, going back 25, 30 years, York, Altoona, Johnstown, Altoona, Lancaster, Reading, they were all the same size towns. And wherever you found a small town, that's where my family settled. And they all went to Penn State on both sides of the family. I think I was the first one that went somewhere beside Penn State. I went to Pennsylvania. And then one other cousin followed me there. But it's just amazing how they've never really gone to the big city. You know, they're just small town folk. You know, it is kind of interesting. And Johnstown was a wonderful community to grow up in, too. I mean, I enjoyed Johnstown tremendously. And that's really my home. I have great affiliations because I went to grade school and high school there. And that's where I went back to afterwards. I still go to Altoona. In fact, I probably go to Altoona now more than Johnstown because I have nobody in Johnstown now. I have one brother who now lives in Harrisburg. And my mother now lives here in the city at Riverview Towers. And so I have no family in Johnstown, and all my friends in Johnstown, Milt, Cynthia, Paul, and Rita Glosser, who you know, are all gone.
They're all gone.
The Lantoses, who you know, Marge and Ray, are close friends of mine. Yeah. And so all my close friends in Johnstown are really left Johnstown. So I really have no ties to go back there. I was back this year for a high school reunion, the first I've been back in maybe 3-4 years. And it was strange, because I said to my wife, it's the first time I've ever gone back, I really didn't have a place to stay.
Well, you know, Rita Isaacson is having a difficult time because she's got this gorgeous big house, and she hates to give it up and leave it, and yet it is lonely.
Yeah.
So she has to make a decision about that sooner or later. She's not ready yet.
Yeah. Well, Ruth and Harry were friendly with my parents, you know, and that was part of their
social
group.
Well, see, she's a cousin, too.
Yeah. So, you know, and I want to say this, Johnstown was a wonderful town to grow up in. It was just a beautiful town to grow up in. I had a wonderful childhood in Johnstown.
It's nice to have such a large family like that, yeah. too.
Well, the family was close. Even my father's family, who are spread around in York now, and little towns are up in Worcester, Massachusetts. My father had two brothers that moved to Worcester, Massachusetts. I have cousins in Worcester, and spread all over. We still get together a lot, too, on that side. And you can imagine how many cousins are on that side. They're tremendous cousins. And we get together at least once a year in York, Pennsylvania.
Nice. Yeah.
And we keep in contact, too. We just had a wedding about a month ago, month and a half, and most of the cousins were there. And that was in central Pennsylvania, cousin on the chronic side got married. And so on both sides, we kept pretty close relationships. And I think it's because even as kids, my father, who was one of eight boys, they always went back over Passover, York, Pennsylvania. And we all got together, and we all were in the same house, all the cousins from out of the city. And we just had a ball together. And that builds great memories, you
yes,
know, of the
yeah,
family.
Right.
And my grandfather there was Orthodox. My grandmother hardly spoke English at all. But she could communicate. He was a wonderful man. She was, too. But when we went back there, you know, there was that ability for him to pull us all together. And it was interesting because in his case, although he was Orthodox, he had said to his children, you don't have to follow Orthodoxy. Whatever you follow, though, make sure you believe in it and are good at it. Because my father obviously was brought up an Orthodox Jew and married a Reformed Jew. Most of my father's brothers probably fall somewhere in between conservatives and an Orthodoxy. You know, more into the conservative. But they, I don't know any stuff really with Orthodoxy of his brothers. Now, all of them are gone now. They're totally gone. My father was the last to go, and he died at 85.
What so, about the children of these people
the children,
and the grandchildren?
The children on the chronic side have pretty much, I'm trying to think, first generation off, my first cousins, on the chronic side, I don't think any of them intermarried. On the Brett side, tremendous intermarriage. But my first cousins on the Brett side, right now, some of them had quite a few marriages, I might have. On the chronic side, we didn't have that. But on the Brett side, right now, of my first cousins, well, even in my mother's generation, her brother married a non-Jew. And his children, although were raised Jewish, do not practice Judaism. They both married the non-Jews today. And they're really gone. Although they still come back, and they bring their children back to Altoona for the family get-together every September. And those kids know that their relatives are Jewish, and they still come back to Altoona with us, and we visit them. We're still very close to them. But of that generation, of my first cousins, one, two, three, four, five now, who just remarried, who's in his 60s, five or six of that 11 or 13 are married to non-Jewish people. And of the next generation going down, hard to say. I can't keep track. Yeah. There's too many of them. Yeah. But there's intermarriage everywhere. I mean, it just happens. My brother has four daughters. And of his four daughters, two are not married to Jews.
What
In fact, one converted, believe it or not, to Greek Orthodoxy. If you don't think that wasn't a tough one, but probably you don't know.
Well, outside of the belief in the Christ, their way they do things are just like the Orthodox Jews.
It is. In fact, the ceremony, there were a lot of things in the ceremony that were very similar.
Yes. They, after all, they copied it.
Yeah.
But that was really the toughest blow. But everybody accepted it and followed. It was her decision, and what are you going to do?
What are the names of your siblings?
I have one.
Just one.
Brett.
Brett
is my only sibling. And he lives in Harrisburg. He has four daughters. Two live here in Pittsburgh, which is great for me because now I have two nieces who I'm very close with who live here, and they have between them five kids. So they really become our extended family here. And it's interesting because it's two girls from Johnstown who married two brothers from Johnstown who they grew up across the street from. Their names are Mendelssohn. and they both live here in the city now. Although one lives out in the St., just moved out to Upper St. Clair, one lives in Shadyside. And I have two children. I have a daughter who's married and lives in Boston, with my only grandchild. Her name is Dana, D-A-N-A. Her married name is Braun, B-R-A-U-N. And I have a son whose name is really Jay Brett, J-A-Y-B-R-E-T-T, and that was my grandfather's name, full name, Jacob, that we called Jay.
J-A-Y. Y,
yeah. My grandmother called him Jay when she was angry with him. We can all still hear her yelling, Jay Brett! So my son, Jay Brett.
Wait, your daughter lives in Boston?
Yeah, my daughter lives in Boston.
And your son?
Lives here. He's an attorney here in the city.
Oh, okay.
Not married. If you have anybody you want to marry to, I will be glad to accept nominations, contributions.
You haven't mentioned your wife.
My wife is from Pittsburgh. My wife is Annette. Her maiden name was Roscoe, R-O-S-C-O-W. She grew up in Squirrel Hill on Inverness Avenue. Actually, she was raised by an aunt and uncle whose name was Ben and Jeanette Friedland, F-R-I-E-D-L-A-N-D. Who really was her family. Her mother died when she was very young, and an aunt then raised her.
Ben and Annette, did you
Jeanette.
Say? Jeanette.
Yeah. They were here of a dress shop called Jeanette Bridal Shop.
Sure.
Downtown, that was theirs. And they had a department
what,
store.
What year did you get married?
We were married in 59. I'm married 30, I guess it's going on 38 years. I don't know, let's try.
What about your granddaughter? Or grandson. You have one grandson.
One granddaughter, right. Her name is Hannah. She was just here yesterday. That's why there's still some toys out. They left yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, I saw the children's books on the coffee table.
Yeah. Well, my niece came over and brought some toys because they came without toys.
H-A-N-N-A-H.
Right.
Anna.
Joyce. Anna Joyce Braun.
Right.
Hannah Braun to me is
that's
like,
I was trying
like,
to remember Braun.
Sounds German. Hannah Braun, I told
you. We need an architect. My granddaughter and I are renovating the old dollhouse the two other siblings have gone through.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I bought her an old-fashioned icebox to show her that we didn't always have refrigeration. So now she says, well, now we have to make it an old-fashioned house.
Anyways, my kids who live in Boston, my daughter went away to a school in Boston and never came back.
Yeah,
she met her husband up there.
Yeah.
He was from New Jersey and California. And
where do they live in Boston?
They live out in Needham, which is on the westerly side of Boston. There. And he's affiliated with Boston University. And everybody says to me, you know, you're lucky your daughter married a Jewish boy, which is interesting because my kids in growing up really never dated Jewish kids, particularly one way or the other, although I certainly always discussed it with them. And one of the things we used to think was very interesting, Dana went to a little school called Pine Manor College, which is in Chestnut Hill. And as a matter of fact, my wife went there too many moons ago. Beautiful, it's a woman's college. And at Christmas they used to publish in the newspaper all the things that, you know, there's not a lot of girls there, all things everybody wanted for Christmas. And one of the things that always followed Dana's name was a Jewish husband. And she never really, but she used to joke about it. So when she brought this kid home, who looks anything but Jewish, and he said he was Jewish and he was bar mitzvah, we almost flipped.
You celebrated.
I mean, it really was.
What's his first name?
His name is Mark.
Okay. Were there any people in your family background that were community leaders?
Everybody was.
Everybody.
I think everybody.
In the small communities.
I think everybody in my family have been, from my father, who was president of the Chamber of Commerce, who was president of civic clubs, in Johnstown, was active in everything. My father was very prominent. When you go to Altoona, the family was prominent in everything in Altoona. As obvious, I mean, my one uncle, by marriage though, a Jubileer, was a judge. His son is now in the Pennsylvania, is my first cousin now in the Pennsylvania State Senate. and he's second in line behind Governor Ridge. I mean, he's really the most powerful Republican in the state of Pennsylvania today. And he's a nice kid. He happens to be a Republican, but I don't hold that against him. No, he's a very liberal and a very good Republican. He's a very nice guy. He really is. We argue a lot to discuss politics, but we have a lot of fun out of it. And everybody in that end of the family was. They really have been. It's very interesting. And so it's sort of a way, I guess, that you are. And I know my brother was in Johnstown before he left Johnstown. I know in Rotary he was active, and he was active in the temple. I, of course, have been active in the temple here. I was on
temple?
Rotary. And I was on the Brotherhood Board, and I was on the Board of Trustees at Rotary Shalom. So I've been active at Rotary Shalom ever since I've been in Pittsburgh. Not as active now, because once I went off the board, it sort of dissipated out. But I've been active. I was president of the Emma Kaufman Camp. So I sat on the board of the Jewish community, whatever the hell they called it at that time. Then it was the Irene Kaufman and the Jewish community. I was one of the founders of what then was called the 14th Ward.
Democratic.
No, Civic Club. When we started it, and that's back about 25 years ago. And then they merged that into what is now called the Squirrel Hill Urban Coalition. They took us, which we called ourselves the 14th Ward Civic, and they then merged that and took it and reformed it as the Squirrel Hill Urban Coalition right after I was involved in it. In fact, I was involved in it when they were transferring it over. Because at that time, the Federation put a lot of money in it because they felt this was the way to save Squirrel Hill. So I was president of that for 3-4 years. I'm very involved in it. In fact, I was their honoree for Citizen of the Year or something back in the late 70s, early 80s. They gave me some plaque. Who knows what that's worth. So I've been active as much as I could be, you know. In various and social organizations in the city. After the Martin Luther King civil rights disturbance, I tried to get personally involved in the black community. And I did a lot of involvement, very quietly, in Homewood, in the Hill with the church, and a few other places, because I really had believed in it at that time. Still do, but I was active. You know, as you get older, you start to go out of those things and devote a little more time, maybe your practice and things like that.
What influences were there in your growing up that turned you to architecture?
I always liked architecture. I cannot tell you what influences. You know, it's very hard to discuss that. I always had a liked construction and building things. I was the type of kid who was always building models and model houses. And if there was new construction, you couldn't keep me out of the place. I found a window to crawl into or a doorway to open to crawl around. And, you know, I've always liked it.
But that wasn't anything in your family history.
No, nobody ever did. Not that I know. As I say, my grandfather loved real estate. I'm sure if my grandfather, you know, had grown up in today's age, he may not have been a merchant, you know, because he did like real estate. He bought real estate now. So he bought it in Florida. He bought it everywhere. I think that the only thing that slowed him down was that he had a big family, and he supported a lot of other people. And the people that he supported were just phenomenal, brothers, sisters, everybody. And so, you know, that part of it, I remember when I went into architecture, everybody's saying, you know, Jewish going into architecture was unheard of. It really wasn't, but, you know, in a small town, nobody knew it. But my family always supported me in it. I went away first to liberal arts school at Penn State. And at the end of my junior year, third year, well, I was only up there 2 years, I knew I wanted to go to architecture school. And I wasn't quite sure how my father would feel about it, but my mother always supported me and said, hey, do what you think you want to do. So I then went to Penn. And I only remember my father at that time, you know, Penn State cost $100 a year to go to. And Penn was like, I don't know, $1,000 at that time. It was just enormous. And my father just couldn't understand it. He said, great. Because Penn State had an architectural school, but I wanted no parts of it because it was a totally different architectural school than Penn had. So I then went away to the University of Pennsylvania for 3 years.
Were there any particular professors there that you...
Well, there were. Penn had a real good... At that time, Penn was really one of the top architectural schools in the country. They were reinventing themselves. And at that time, Harvard and Penn really were at the pinnacle of architectural schools. And it was... Architecture is, you know, is a type of thing. It's, you learn architecture by it being broken up into studios. And prominent architects come in from all over the country and teach for a period of 4 months or 5 months. And by the grade you get into different studios that you select. And that's where you study with that person. And at that time, Penn's clout, and not only its clout, but it's where it was located. You know, that's one reason I didn't like Penn State. Penn State, you know, it's located in the boonies. To get in and out of it, it takes you 16 hours. And anybody that's prominent isn't going to come into Penn State to teach because you're isolated. You come into Philadelphia, you can fly in, fly out, get a training, get a train out. So Penn had the advantage, as does Harvard or any city along the eastern coast. So at that time, Penn was really exciting. And also at that time, I had grown up in Johnstown, had gone to Penn State, had never lived in a big city. And when I got to Penn, I was just absolutely overwhelmed by it. Overwhelmed. Overwhelmed not only by the school, but the people I met. You know, people my own age who I felt were so much more well-read than I was. More worldly than I was. And so it was like, you know, it was an eye.